This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's James Stewart. You know who it is. I mean, we've done this thing. It's our sixth time. Welcome to Bubba's World. I missed you guys. It's been a while since I've done the recap, the podcast, but we back. We back. Finished the Supercross season. I got my boy Roger here.
Lots to talk about.
He gets to say one thing. James is wrong. He was right. We'll talk about that. I got Cole Beach. Finally, it took me until the last episode.
Yeah, I mean, by the end of the season, I'll take it. It's fine.
It's cool. Got Cole here. Roger here, myself. We got a guest coming in here, so it's going to be a great show, guys. I'm looking forward to it. Plus, it's just been a while. I miss you guys. So let's get into it. Let's get back into the recap of the season. Like, my pick was right on number one.
I'll give you that.
And then, like, I think you might have said somebody was getting the third, but, nonetheless.
Did I pick Coop to win?
From my memory, I thought it was Coop. At least that's what I said.
Yeah, I think, like, it was either Coop, Dylan, or somebody. We had them in there.
Yeah, I didn't pick Dylan to win.
Yeah, I don't
know. Maybe outdoors.
James had Dylan as number two, I think.
Yeah, and then Coop three.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then what, Mookie? Bar, I don't know what I had.
You said fourth or fifth, yeah.
Yeah, Barsha fourth.
Mookie, you know why I picked Coop? I picked him because I fell into the whole, Truman, off-season, Coop's going good. He's really working hard. So I was going off what I was hearing.
There, everybody's That's good in off-season, it, baby. So. I'll tell you that. I went undefeated in off-seasons until that. We always. But that's part of, like, your guys around you. Like, I mean, how many times have you ever said, like, damn, James looked bad in off-season? Yeah, on there. You got to hype it up. But I felt like I was kind of, like, skeptical on Coop because, as I mentioned, I felt like if he wasn't there to win it, he wasn't even going to get top five. On there, and it kind of played out like he's just a winner, but obviously a lot of the other things, bike issues, there was more going on with the bike issues and blah 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 and all this stuff. But yeah, I wasn't too confident on him. It was either going to be a title fight with him and Eli, which nothing, and it was more nothing. But neither one of us picked Eli to be as dominant as he was, and he was pretty dominant. Cole, I got to give him credit. He did come out with Jason.
Yeah, Cole.
Yeah, he's
Cole.
Sneaky one. Yeah, he said he was going to win Anaheim one. He wrong, but he did win the next one. So I think he won the next one.
Yeah, he did. Oakland.
Yeah, but I didn't see that one coming. So Cole, whatever your last name is, you got that one right. And then,
but that had to be the biggest, I think, surprise.
What?
Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah.
I think Anderson was probably surprised.
The surprise that he won as many as he did.
Yeah, I mean, he won more than anybody, right?
Right.
Yeah, anything led way more laps, I think, than anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, who was second? Chase, probably, right? Chase led a lot of laps.
No, I think it's got to be Eli.
I mean, yeah, maybe Eli. But, I mean, Chase is third.
On laps led, it was Eli,
second. You got to be quicker on your feet, get the thing. Well, anyways, yeah, so we do the recap, and then obviously Kristen won the West Coast title, and Jet won the East. Kind of saw those coming, even though a lot of guys got, I thought Jet would win the East, but I thought maybe, Cole, he got hurt, right? Cole.
Yeah,
Colt Nichols.
And yeah, Justin got hurt. So yeah, there's a couple guys, but it's not surprising those two guys won. And Malcolm, got to give it up to him. Stu, brother stepped up. Brother stepped up, got him a third place. Now we're going to see what happens next year on there. But I mean, it's a big jump for him. You know, you kind of saw the progression, reprogression, like, you know, he was fast at the beginning part of the year. And, you know, I'm critical because like, I see him and I see, you know, he's my brother, you know, got to give him that brotherly love. But I think for him, you know, it's a big year for him, you know, just not even finishing third. I mean, ultimately, like, I think that was just a payoff. You know, it's just like the bonus to it. But I think he's got to be happy with the progression of, you know, what it will do for his mindset, like moving forward. You know, I think that's the biggest thing that you wanted to get throughout the year. You know, in 2013, I think I won one Supercross race, but it was a progression of like, I slowly got better all year long. I don't even know what I finished in the series. But getting that win and then being able to compete led me into 2014. So that's what Malcolm was needing to do. And so we'll see how the offseason goes and they get that bike a little bit better and see if he might be a preseason favorite pick.
Let's tune back in December. And
what? You got to be confident. No. I'm just saying, like, you know, you were confident. I thought you were going to be more like, I told you.
I've been saying that every show.
Yeah, you did.
Every phone call. Every Monday morning phone call.
I told you so. You got to bleed a hype. It was good. No, for sure. I'm pumped for him.
But the end of the season really was quite the incident between for him to get third in the championship. I mean, between him and Barsha getting docked 10 points.
Yeah, see, I wasn't going to jump into the negative right now. Like, I was just going to introduce, you know, everybody's just getting back in, just easing back in. But I guess we're here.
It was a positive, though.
Yeah, it was a positive. You got some new fans. You know, you got some people that was on him. And then, you know, Bam Bam went, you know, he did his thing. It was aggressive.
Play it, Cold Beach. Let's replay it.
Yeah, I mean it was they not really replay besides Malcolm going flying there, but boom! I was waiting for you to just get there. I was trying to break it down a little bit.
No, I mean
we can't break it down. We break it down. Like, I mean, you almost got broken, you know. It's hard. There's a lot of, you know, obviously people were upset. I think people were just like, you know, happy, which we all were happy for Malcolm. Like, he was riding good. He caught Justin. He made a clean pass on him. You know, but as a racer, you understand, you know, like, I mean, Barsha, I wonder what that check is between fourth and third. He was going for something. So even though it's dirty and I don't promote violence and that was violent, you know, it wasn't like out of the world. Like, what are you doing? I wouldn't have done it, but you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, he was trying to get that paper. And sometimes, like, when you can't beat a guy, you try to kill him. And he tried, but, you know, he failed. And then Malcolm came back and got him anyway, which makes it even look worse. Well, he didn't pass him, but he got what he needed to get. But he finished it off. And
I mean, Roger, talk a little bit from even from your opinion
on, you were there.
Like, how loud that stadium got.
Yeah. Denver, I was thinking, Eli's hometown and he's going to wrap the championship. That stadium was so loud. I'm like, I don't think I've ever heard a stadium as loud as that until this week.
Yeah.
Salt Lake City was crazy. When he would come,
you can hear it on TV.
When he would come down that big rhythm lane, the crowd could kind of get a good gauge at how much he was gaining on them, and they were going crazy.
Yeah, I think the crowd was getting excited just like, you know, I was. And even on the TV, they were commentating like, man, I hope like he gets to him. And I knew Malcolm wasn't going to hit him. Like, he wasn't going to do anything to him when he got there. Like, I think if he would have, it would have set him back. And I don't see that mindset. Like, I think Malcolm was racing four positions to race on there. He was trying to get third in points. And I think the fact is, like, I know Malcolm and I know how he rides when he's trying to like attack somebody. You could tell when a guy's racing and trying to catch somebody to like hurt him, there would have been a lot more mistakes. There would have been way more aggressive. Malcolm was just moving through the pack, doing his thing, and he was catching Justin, but he wasn't, even if he would have got into it, I don't even know if he even tried to pass him on there, honestly. But I don't, he wasn't going to do anything to him.
I was super mad at the the time when Rance kind of screwed up that lap. But I think in the big picture, it was probably for the best that
he
didn't catch him.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I don't know if Justin, it would have been ballsy if he would have passed Malcolm. Malcolm would have got by him and did it again. That would have been ballsy because, you know, ultimately, I think when Justin hit him and he went flying, I think he maybe realized, like, damn, like, that was all too aggressive. The fans would let me know. So I don't know if he would have done it, hit him again. And especially if Malcolm would have passed him clean. I think if Malcolm went in there and got aggressive with him, it would just open the door up like, hey, like two wrongs don't make a right. And Justin's going to try to make a right on his end. But I'm just happy for him. He composure and all that. I mean, even when Anderson took him out, like you saw his reaction when he.
That's why I was stuck on in Salt Lake that when he did get taken out, I thought for sure he was going to kind of freak out and kind of lose it. But he didn't. And he kept his cool and did what he needed to do.
Yeah, he had a great podium interview.
Yeah, I thought the whole night, just the way he rode, the way he carried himself after the race, what he said on the podium, I think.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, like, I think that's part of, like, growing up and having something. Malcolm's never been in a position to have something to lose in this situation. The last time he had that was when he had the title thing. I mean, yeah, he's had podiums and, you know, opportunity to win a race. But I think here is, you know, he really wanted to get that third place.
Plus, I don't think you realize, and maybe the average fan, even your contracts were all like just win and bonus, you know, like just win. But third place, like it pays a lot of money.
Yeah, no, but I realized it because I mean, you know, I was there. I see it, you know, I know, but you're right. I also think that's a mindset of, you know, again, like I think you got to take things in perspective, like, you know, the bonus money between Justin and Malcolm's getting third place to fourth, there's probably a big difference. I know it is, in Malcolm's contract. So it is, they are racing for something compared to like maybe Eli's or myself, you know, that it wouldn't make no difference. If I don't have a chance to win the race, then I didn't get anything for it. It becomes pride at that point. So them being aggressive, I can see that. And I think that's why Malcolm, you know, took and looked at the bigger picture. Like I am being behind him. I showed him, I caught him again. And, you know, the fans, like, I don't need to engage him because I've already won, in a sense. And I think that's a part of like growing up. You know, I think even what happened to him and Anderson, you know, I think that was still like having a chance to win and not being there enough to maybe like, you know, you're pissed off having your first chance to win. I think if that Anderson thing would have happened like at this race, he might have reacted differently on there. That's the matureness that might have a chance to win a Supercross title. Like that's what he's got to get to and not be so emotionally up and down. And so that was a good, you know, that's, you can only do that after doing certain things over and over and then that building and, you know, like I said, you got to slowly slack them chips, you know, perspective and all that. That's what you kind of see. So at Salt Lake, it accommodated to like, I think what we have. And I think the fans and they were excited for him to catch Justin and possibly knock him down, you know, even, you know, Ricky on TV and the guys, they were excited because they didn't know either from past history. Malcolm would have blew his ass out of the water if you'd caught him again. But I think, you know, this is what we wanted to see, like as far as the sponsor and his brother, like that showed me more with him, you know, moving in for next year. So, yeah, it'd be good. So congratulations to all of them. Eli, again, Jason killed it. He won last, four or five in a row. And he was clearly the best out of everybody. You know, he was gone on all those. I think the biggest... Like, who do you would say your biggest disappointment of the year was?
Oh, Cooper, for sure.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
For sure. And the biggest surprises would be Anderson, I would think.
I also agree with that.
Yeah. No, good picks.
What was your biggest letdown of the season? I would also argue Dylan.
Yeah, I mean, he ain't raced.
I saw that coming. The first practice, I think I said in another show, Anaheim 1, and one of the practices, he was on the board, and I'm like, oh, man, maybe Dylan should have been a pick. And then...
Yeah, I was wrong on that one. Yeah, I was wrong.
But he'll be just fine outdoors.
Yeah, it's funny. You'd be wrong on certain things, but also see it coming. You know, like, that makes sense. Like, I was wrong. I thought, like, the outdoor season would make him stronger.
Carry that over,
like, to really compete for the title. Like, you know, you just fight through it. But then when I saw him rolling through those whoops at Anaheim 1, like, and I'm like, wait a minute. Like all right, maybe that was just a nominee. Yeah, and I'm like, all right. And then he did it again. And so it's not surprising.
So what's the reverse of that? If you thought Dylan was going to carry that momentum from outdoors into Supercross, what do you think like a guy like Anderson will do?
Outdoors?
Yeah, carrying that.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Good question, by the way, Raj. See, you know, we all improving at the end of the year. I don't know. I don't know with Jason. Like, I can really honestly tell you, I don't know how he's going to do outdoors because he hasn't raced it that much.
And he doesn't have a win outdoors.
Yeah, well, that'd change. That'd change.
Well, he doesn't have a single 450 win?
I don't think so.
I thought he's won one. Maybe a moto here and there. I mean, even a smooth criminal guy wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that'll for sure change. He'll change this year. And I think, you know, being on a new bike and all that, like, I think that was, it's going to help him, like, kind of forget the past, forget that he doesn't have a win. Because he's on a new team and all that. And the Kawasaki's obviously being good outdoors. Eli, you know, winning titles. So that's going to change 100% this year. I can almost maybe pick him per title outdoors just because I'm not sure what Eli's going to do. I'm not sure if he's going to be in it for the whole time, especially with his knee and winning a title. Don't be fooled. Supercross is what you want to try to win on there. And I think like him being at his age and, you know, he's racing one more year and it'd be Supercross only, right?
Yeah.
You know, if the outdoor is there, he'll go for it. But I think if things are rough and his knee's bothering, I don't see him finishing it. I think he'll just get fixed up. So if I'm looking at everybody else, Cooper's not racing, Chase. I just see like it'd be Anderson and Dylan, and maybe I'm forgetting somebody else, but I think it would be those two. And if I had to pick right now, I almost got to say Anderson. Anderson would get it.
I said that.
And on there, but again, I think, you know, it's a new start. You know, there's only, everybody wants to win, but only like maybe three or four might believe they got a chance to win. And I think my biggest disappointment, or I wouldn't say disappointment, but I'd say Chase to me in Supercross. I think the as many laps as he led, many opportunities he had to win, he only got one win.
Yeah, San Diego.
Really?
And he was leading about like two or three other ones at least.
Yeah. I mean, in like I kind of told you that, like if he was up front, like he's good, like he can get away from those guys, like he win a bunch of races. I think every race that he won or was leading, he was up front. But I think the being able to come through the pack and all that, like you know, he's still learning on how to do that. So I thought there was a clear good chance for him to be able to win. Like once Eli went into championship mode, I thought he would have a chance to, you know, beat him and Jason. They were mano a mano, and Jason, you know, ran away from him, did what he did. So we'll see.
To backtrack a little bit about Malcolm at Salt Lake, I actually want to bring this up. Roger, whether it was just him.
What?
About the mascot?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see this, James?
I saw it on TV. I was like, what? What? That's like the old McGrath one, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
So here it is. Right there.
Yeah. So as much as I'd like to take credit for it, Jeremy.
Oh, that's you?
Yeah, Jeremy did it way back.
Why'd you do one to me, man? I mean, Jeremy was there before, you know. What up?
Well, the concept of it today was for COVID, when you couldn't sign autographs. So we'll get a stand-in. But it took forever to get the thing made.
So that was the first time it popped up?
Yeah.
I was wondering. My kid was like, Dada! It's like, because long hair and stuff. Like, no, I know who that is.
So I actually called MC's guy and asked him who made that. And
Romeo?
No, he actually made it. I think he said Disney made it for him. So I called Feld, and Feld's Disney on Ice or whatever.
Yeah.
Their costume.
That's what's up.
Made it for him.
Yeah, I mean, Feld, jack of all trades, and yep. I'll give you credit. It looks better than McGrath's.
Well, truth be told, when I the place that they made it's just here in Orlando. So I went down to see it before we picked it up, and when I first saw it, he had a gnarly receding hairline.
I'm like LeBron hairline.
I'm like, bro, you got to pull that up. You got to pull it up. So we made a little adjustments, and yeah, I think it looks.
Yeah.
It looks when they released it, like, or like showed it to the public for the first time, it was like, I think it was during last qualifying session. And so Roger called me down. He wanted me to kind of go with him as the stand in walked out into the pits over by the Husky truck. And it was probably, I don't know, we would say 500 feet that we had to walk to the Husky truck. And mascot was getting stopped every five steps.
Just
little kids wanted. Kids wanted photos.
I mean, I just think of that. Like, I mean, kids, that's why they love Disneyland. They actually think the costume guy is, you know, Roger the Rabbit.
Well, there were a lot of people. There were so many people that were like,
is that Malcolm? Is that James?
My kid wasn't like tripping when he said that. He's like, dad, like, nah, dad, that's right here, son. Like, on there. But nah, that's cool. And, you know.
And then the guy who's wearing it is.
That ain't you?
Shane McElrath's mechanic. Clearly, he wasn't working that day.
He wasn't working that day?
Yeah. He walked by the Husky truck, and he wasn't wearing a team shirt. So I'm like, what are you doing here? He's like, nothing. So I'm like, let me borrow you for like an hour.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, we all family, right? We all work. Give him credit.
But he was stoked, though.
I didn't actually see him out for opening ceremonies until I rewatched the TV program. So I didn't know he went out onto the track and was like, he gave Malcolm a fist bump or whatever.
Yeah.
The only regret, I wish I would have.
Made one for me? Yeah, I know. No, go ahead.
I wish I would have made Malcolm take his helmet off during opening ceremonies because those photos of him high-fiving the mascot. But I think, I talked to Prater earlier this week, I think they're going to make it mandatory you can't wear your helmet in opening ceremonies.
Really?
Yeah, because you always did.
He always wore his helmet?
Yeah, but for me, I think it's like a chance to connect with the fans and like show your face, you know?
Yeah, well, you've never been booed either.
Yeah, dude, you've never been booed really either. Oh, man.
We'll be right back. Yeah.
Where?
I mean, a lot of places. I mean, Red Bull, they boo me. I have my home, I don't know.
They ain't booing during opening ceremony.
They ain't booing me like Barca got booed up there. Ooh. Like, they, you know, Black Lives Matter.
Well, I think
it's the wrong time to be doing that.
I think it's different now because not everyone's hitting the finish line during opening ceremonies. Yeah. Like everyone's just rolling around, really. If there's a guy that's doing a knack-knack or something over the triple, then wear a helmet. But I agree with that.
Opening ceremonies now, it isn't like when you raced. Like back then, we almost put just as much time and effort into the video, what song we're going to come out to. Now,
oh, man.
Now
they just come out because it's just part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it definitely ain't because.
But I think they're working on it. I think they know. And they
it was dangerous. Like, I mean, you ride around, you can't see. They got a flashlight, you know, that big old spotlight in your eyes. And all the rocks and stuff on that concrete, like, there was many times I almost fell.
All the wires.
Yeah, like you hit that, like, fall over and knock myself out. So. Yeah, I did it because like
I'd be scared of the pyros, the flames and stuff.
Well, a helmet ain't gonna save me for that.
No, I'm gonna blow my head off.
You know, you're gonna get neck burn on another level right there. You're gonna get that Eli one, that whole third degree burn. Yeah, I just think like I was scared, like not to. And every once in a while, I might hit like a little double or something like that. But I mean, back then you had to step up because you had K-Dub jumping across the whole damn stadium. You know, with these. You know, transfers and stuff, but yeah, it's a little bit different. I think it was, mandatory. I don't know,
but kudos to Roger.
I give him credit.
Yeah,
I give him credit. Yeah, I saw it. I thought it was there. I just thought they busted out, but you flew down here to do that.
Well,
I know you got to get him on the show more now. If he's flying
down,
you
come down here, you get like a mascot.
I stopped at that place on the way home one time.
Now I don't remember that. I was taking you to the airport. I got to check the charges. When did that come out?
Oh, you don't want to see the charge for that. Man. You do not want to see the charge for that.
Budgets. Yeah. Getting back on that. But it was cool. But he got third place. So, you know, hey, mascot. He got on the podium.
Yeah. So I think that just kind of added to his fan base when.
Yeah.
You know, during the day, people see that they're all stoked on him. And then during the night.
Yeah, remember Romeo? He said that a long time ago.
Oh, did Romeo make that?
No, he was saying, dude, you need to get a mascot like Jeremy. He's like, I'll do it. Like, I'll walk around. And, you know, we just never did it. But, yeah, just awesome.
I'm sure maybe, I don't know, Felda makes some more for some other guys. But
yeah, they should be. I mean, they should have all of them, top riders, mascots. And then, you know, the kids, they would take an autograph by that dude.
Only a couple cried. Like a couple.
He doesn't like being scared.
Predator, you know? Like, he did.
Well, a couple were like, what the is that?
Yeah.
Well, it was hard for him to see too. So you can't really like,
The dude was like sketchy. Walking.
Be too interactive while you're walking. You're kind of like just like a menace walking through the crowd.
Yeah. No, it's cool. They should make them, make them all on there, and then like they should have all those guys like sign autographs. That way, it would take some of the pressure off the riders on doing that. You know,
yeah, even just like a 51 for Barsha or 27 for Malcolm. Like I don't know, like even a simple number,
to
break it down easier.
Yeah, just make them like all mascots. I mean, Disney on Ice. You know how many princesses it is at Disney World and Bugs Bunny. They. One Bugs get tired, the other one comes in, you know. Yeah. So you get them all mascot, but you see them, they do it at the baseball games and mascot runs.
Yeah,
make Sports Center, so it's doing something. But that's cool. So yeah, the picks were right. I was right, you were wrong on everything else besides one. You know, give you that credit. But
he stood behind his guy, and it paid off.
Oh, it paid off. Yeah, he did.
Wait till next year.
Oh boy, he's calling it already.
Can we get a future? Like,
I mean, you know, we know where we're headed.
Number one, champ.
Oh boy.
Oh
man, we're gonna have to timestamp this.
I was already.
We gotta write it on the board. We're gonna start putting these things on the board.
Who has there ever been a 450 champion that hadn't won a race prior to that season of him winning a championship?
Only a rookie.
Yeah, rookie.
Dunge. Jeremy McGrath. Well, maybe he won.
Just Dunge.
McGrath, 93.
Yeah, I guess So two.
Yeah.
Maybe three.
Yeah, no, Ricky won in 2000 actually. He won Daytona. So you were close. Then he won the title next year.
And then the following year.
Yeah. Mm. And when he won like 11 or 13 out of like 16, won a lot of them.
I guess all thought I was crazy for third, but...
But if you had to pick right now, James, Supercross next year?
I don't think Eli will repeat. I don't think he will. I don't know. I mean, it just got to fill out. I mean, I think what Eli did this year was special. You know, I think... And as dominant as he was... I don't know.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, that's kind of hard to repeat on there. And I think that this title solidifies a lot for him. And he's already somewhat committing to, I think last year, next year is his last year. He's already committed to half the season. So even though he's committed to it, I don't know how much he's committed to it. So I don't know. I don't know. And missing the outdoor season, don't take it lightly. It will hurt. It will hurt him on there, taking that time off. He's got to get back in the rhythm of things. So if Jason rates the whole outdoor season going into it, he might be one of my title favorites. But yeah, I don't know. I think it'd be more open next year than this year. Like I think you can have Malcolm, Chase,
yeah,
Jason. I don't know about Cooper. I don't know.
I think.
Well, he's back under the Alden program.
Yeah, and another.
Yeah, but
a few more months on that with that bike to get it better. I think Cooper 23 has got to be better than Cooper 22.
I got to fly, but I must smell like shit. Are we talking shit over here?
Work he did this morning.
I've been doing this all. Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm excited to be about that. I mean, who's moving up? Anybody moving up? Craig? If Craig's moving up.
Yeah, so Craig rumored to go to Husky, right?
Yeah, but that's not till next year.
No, right, for Supercross,
yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got 6 months to get that. I think next year's Supercross season is going to be wild. I think it's going to be a lot of it's going to be open. It's going to be open. I won't see a dominant guy, and that's crazy to say, like, after what we just saw this year, but as good as Eli was, and as many races, like when he was winning, he was like better than everybody else. That difference, it's not a big difference on there. And, you know, as much as I talked about his bike setup and all that, there's still not a big difference between him and like everyone else on there. Well, to catch up to him, I guess that's what I mean. Like when he was racing, his bike setup looked better. He was riding well, and even when he was winning, it wasn't like he was blowing the guys away with speed. He was just blowing them away with like how easy it looked and consistency. But it wasn't like a there was a huge difference. Like you visually can watch him doing something that no one else could do, or there was a big separation. And I think over the off season, I think everybody with another year on the bike and then with some more motivation, whether it's Cooper or, you know, Jason coming off of, you know, Supercross, way into Supercross season, if he gets through the outdoor season healthy, I just think that difference is going to be a lot closer. And I think everybody that goes in there will feel like they can beat Eli still on there. I don't think anybody would go in there thinking that Teach is better. And I think at one point this year, it became Eli was being so consistently. I think they started feeling like, damn, man, we can't beat the guy on there. But I think moving forward, that watching as an old racer and stuff, and I think those guys feel like this, is that he's not unbeatable, even though he was somewhat unbeatable this year.
I think it was more just, yeah, he may have not been lights out faster, but it was also just him limiting his mistakes.
Yeah, in those plus off races. He had that huge point lead, you know what I mean? So he didn't really have to.
Well, I mean, he got that because he did it, like, on there. Like, I mean, he made that. I mean,
because Anderson would kind of throw away.
Yeah, races. Yeah, but I'm saying you kind of ride different when you know you have that big of a points lead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the good thing for him, like, he didn't have to ride much different, like, on there. I mean, the last few races, I mean, he hurt his knee. To be honest with you, like, you know, I didn't know he hurt his knee like his thing as bad as they said he did, just because of what I seen, like for practice and stuff. Like, he looked like he was always going out there to fight to win, and if the circumstance wasn't there, he didn't do it. But it never looked like he was injured and he couldn't do it. So he ended up getting sixth because Cooper, like, and those guys passed him. He was like, I just finished this off because of his points lead. But I never watched him in race where it looked like, damn, he physically, like, looks hurt on there. So when, you know, I did recaps and talked about it, and people were like, oh, he's hurt. I guess I missed that point because when I watched him in practice and the way he rode in a heat race at the race before in Denver, he didn't look hurt to me on there. And maybe he was hurt, but not limited. He still could have won the race if he needed to win the race.
Yeah, but we talked before this, just like you were saying in, what, 08, you raced that whole outdoor season hurt.
Yeah. So in 2007, I blew my ACL out at Washougal over that rock. I was winning the points lead, winning the title, blew my ACL out. Langston won it that year. And then doing my practice preseason before 2008 Supercross season, I blew my ACL out again, my other one, and ended up racing the first three races, won one, second another, and then the next one, but it was popping in out of place. So we had surgery, rehab. That's when I went 24-0 out for outdoor, but I blew my ACL out again in between Colorado. Yeah, in between, I think it was one of the races.
But nobody knew that?
Nobody knew that, but Eldon. Yeah, I blew it out again here at the house. And there was three ACLs in a row that would have cost my seasons. And so I sucked it up, and I was like, dude, we're racing. So if you remember, I didn't ride practice, that night practice at Colorado, because I couldn't even walk. My knee was jacked up, swollen up. And so I ended up finishing that year. It was torn. Blown out. It was popping in and out of place. Same thing was happening outdoors, but just because, you know, racing outdoors, the G force between hitting supercross rhythm sections, outdoors kind of allowed me not to have to do it every time I landed. I just had to worry about ruts and stuff, which it happened a lot. So I got through that, but then I switched over to Yamaha and I needed to get it fixed, but I couldn't do it moving into that. So but it's still torn at this moment. But what we did was strengthening as much as we could during that whole off season and my knee braces and all that. Tried to tighten things up so it didn't happen. But yeah, I blew it out in outdoors, like three seasons in a row. So
yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But to Eli, from your experience, like, so now he's Supercross only for 23. Is that a hard convincing to do a team? Like, how do you think that conversation went? Like, why, what's his,
they probably told him,
well,
to do Supercross only.
Yeah, I think Yamaha told him they want to see that number one plate on that bike. I think he was borderline like gonna retire. I don't think if he'd have won the Supercross season, he probably would have retired, go home.
Even that too, like, I wonder sometimes, like, at this point in his career, like, what's his motivation?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I see Eli, like, you know, of course, like, he's into winning races, and you got to be into whatever you do, the love for it, to be a champion and dedicate your whole life to go racing. But I don't think he's chasing records. So him walking away at 44 wins or five, like, I don't think he would be like, I got to go back to get James.
Yeah.
I don't think he cares, but he doesn't care to that point. So I don't think that's why he came back. And I think Yamaha, like, since that, like, he was obviously had a great role. He's enjoying the team. We'll see if he ends up racing the full outdoor season or get his knee fixed. But I think Yamaha probably saw that and was like, look, you don't have to race outdoors next year. So if you want to come back, you can just dedicate yourself to Supercross. And that probably sounds pretty good to him. So, but that being said, I know firsthand, as much as you tell yourself that, like, racing Supercross only is, you can just dedicate all your time to Supercross and just all that, it changes something in your head. Like, it changes it. And I think that it's, if you already kind of maybe one toenail out, possibly, I can only see how that would affect me even more, being like, all right, I'm into this thing. But if things aren't going right, then, you know, yeah, whatever. So I don't think him racing Supercross only is going to make him better on there, but I think it was a way to keep him from retiring. And I think Yamaha seen that. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. So that's why I say, like, I think that gap, considering everything that's put together, I don't think it's as big as what it looked like for a while there. But if he goes out and waxes everybody's ass like he did the Supercross season outdoors, going next year, I might still say the same thing, but I think it would be more, I think if he does that, then I would pick him to win. I would pick him to win the title. But if he doesn't race outdoors, and he gets his knee fixed, then I don't think I would pick him
to win the Supercross 23.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if he does, it wouldn't surprise me, but I could see him not winning.
I know Yamaha doesn't care if he races outdoors or not. I don't think many people know, but when Malcolm signed his Husky deal, Yamaha wanted to keep him, and they were willing to offer him a 2-year deal, Supercross only.
Yeah.
And Yamaha said outdoors wasn't that big of a concern to them.
Yeah, I mean, I think Yamaha, I hate to say it, the money's here. You know, you got to have, the hamburger and cheeseburgers to be able to get the filet. You know, you got to have it. So, the Supercross only is where, the money and where the new sponsors and stuff comes in, as far as money-wise. But, outdoors is key to our sport for every rider. I think you have to have that outdoor, which I felt that I went through it. Outdoors is very important. But that being said, if you're in the end of your career and if you're a sponsor looking out like Yamaha, you already got the number one plate. Your 250 class is pretty damn dominant. They're going to race both. They're good with Dylan. And so if you're trying to get a rider that could bring you a title like Eli or even, but Malcolm, you feel like you can change him, then I can see why they would offer him that. And when they say it's not important, I wouldn't say it's not important. I said it's not the most important thing to them. And if that's what's going to make the difference, then I think they will bend back to it. But I don't think it's Yamaha. I think it's everybody. I mean, I've had that conversation with Suzuki. So, and people don't like to hear that. But the truth is everybody's different. Nobody's saying it's not important. It's just when you're trying to accomplish certain things, there's ways to get there. And maybe Supercross only is a way to get there. And, I think Eli, and he's done enough to be able to get that, have that opportunity. And I look at it as if Yamaha would have told me he had to race outdoors next year, you probably wouldn't be seeing Eli racing this year. So, but for us fans, we've got plenty of guys that's racing outdoors, and I think it's going to open up the series next year.
Yeah. Speaking of that, what about Dungy, Caroli? How do you think they're going to?
Well, before we do that, let's take a quick break. All right. And we'll come back, and we got to bring our guest in here, and then we'll talk about that one too. So we'll be right back. Hey guys, we're back here, and I want to introduce a special guest of mine, Mr. Eric Pinard. I'm sure a lot of you guys know who he is, but if you don't, we're going to have to explain that today. So here with my boy Raj, of course, and Mr. Eric Pinard. How you doing, Eric?
Doing great. So good to be back here.
Yeah, it's been when was the last time I seen you? It's been a couple years since maybe Bercy or...
I think the last time we were here working together was... prior to some Australian adventure that didn't work out, but that's it was about 7-8 years ago already.
Yeah. Easy. Yeah, you probably see Raj more often at the races and stuff. I mean, we live in the same state, and it's like my neighbors. They live in my neighborhood, but I never see them. So
I see him at least once a month. Talk to him probably once a week.
Really, we enjoy each other with Roger.
Yeah. You know?
I offered him to take my guest house already. I said, we work so much together.
I might as well move in.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to get him to come down here more often because, he's spur of the moment. But no, it's good. So I've been working with Eric for 6 months now, maybe a little bit longer on this new adventure, this eExplore. So I thought it'd be better to have him come in, the man himself, and kind of explain to all of us, what's going on and how. This is a new adventure for me and then also for the sport, and just it's exciting. When I first heard about it, an opportunity to race across the world, and again, the electric motorcycles, all this stuff, everything's moving towards the future, and I think it'd be good to kind of get into that and explain why I'm involved and but the whole concept of the racing. So
I think there's nobody better to explain it to than Eric.
Yeah, you know, it's electric racing has been something in my blood for a long, long times. You know, it's just, it's funny how, you know, in 2008, I created the first motocross, electric motocross bike racing as a sideshow at Minimoto in Las Vegas. And, you know, we had guys like Emig and Tortelli racing it. Yeah. And we all loved it. It was kind of like a novelty.
Which bike was that?
It was on Zeros and Quantias, you know, so Swiss bike. Funny, I mean, Zero was US and Quantia was a Swiss-based company. And the bikes were not very exciting to ride, you know, have to be honest. I mean, the electric power was there, but it was not, you know, the frame. They were too much mountain bikes.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like the first time I put my toe in the electric ocean. And it was an interesting venture. And then after that, you know, Alta came. Yeah. And, you know, they knew my interest in that type of motorcycles. And they called me in and we did a lot of great things together, which in my eyes culminated at Straight Rhythm with Josh Hill about 5 years ago.
Yeah, remember that.
Yeah, that was really something super exciting. And I remember talking with Josh, you know, like a couple of months prior and say, hey, will you race Straight Rhythm on an electric bike? He says, yeah, just make the whoops a little bit mellower.
Yeah.
that was kind of like the peak. After that, we did some super cool stuff in the enduro world with electric bike. We went to Erzberg. You know, we put the Alta on the podium at the enduro cross championship, and then, you know, Alta went out of business. COVID hit, and kind of like went quiet for a while.
Yeah.
And a couple of years ago, I could feel like the vibe was coming back, you know, so much energy in the car industry around the you know, the electric mobility, that I felt like something was right. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I got a call from Val, the founder of eXplorer. And I've known him for 12, 15 years. You know, when he was a kid, he was a trail bike rider, super, super cool kid. He was studying in US.
You've known these guys that long?
So it's that's so funny, but, you know, knowing each other, you know, like we've known each other for a long, long time, all of us here. And Val, you know, he was a student in US, you know, and he got back to Europe, and then he started to work for that new series called Formula E.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, that sounds gnarly. I'm interested to see about Formula One, you know, with electric engine. And he was one of the first employees. He worked there for several years, and he's still a motorcycle guy at heart.
Yeah.
He's a dirt biker at heart. And, you know, just at the beginning of COVID, he gave me a call. He said, hey, I think it's time. We're going to do a electric bike series. Would you like to be part of it? And, you know, obviously I could not resist.
Yeah.
You know, I was the first one to smile about the idea and to make it happen.
Yeah. And I think, like, just giving a little bit of background, like, when Roger first came to me and he brought it up, like, just having you be a part of this makes it authentic. You know, like, I think, you know, maybe I didn't do a good enough job of kind of introducing, like, you know, your background and how, like, you know, Val, you've been into the motorcycle industry, like, you know, a part of my career, but just in general, like, the sport. And Eric's been that guy from, you know, when I raced overseas stuff, like, it just always seems like there's anything new, you know, pushing forward, like, it's Eric's involved in it. And so to have Val and those guys come to you and have you be a part of it, it's like, you know, those guys coming to me and asking me to be a part, it just makes it authentic. So it's cool. That's why when he mentioned it to me and he told me who was involved, I'm like yeah, you know, it wasn't no, well, I mean what if this. I think it's just a credibility, like what you've accomplished and been in the industry and just
thank
what kind
so
of person
much.
You are. So
thank you. And just in this corner here, we have something together. You have the trophy.
Yeah. I told you. Bring
I
that back yeah. Yeah.
I want that trophy back.
Yeah,
no, but it's yours.
No. But last month when Davey was here, we brought up the Mount Rushmore of moto. But I think if we did a Mount Rushmore of industry people, I think you'd be on that.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
yeah,
I think, sure. I don't think that maybe the casual fan wouldn't, maybe, but people in the industry, like, I think you'd be
real G's moving silence.
Yeah,
that's what he is. Yeah, yeah.
You guys are way too kind. But just for all the listeners, there's only two things I wanted to do in my life: is to be in America because it's the greatest country in the world, and to be in motorcycle racing. That was a very simple business plan.
Yeah. Well, it worked out. It worked out. So no, it's an honor to have you on, and be a part of this thing. And again, like, it's just, there's a lot of questions that, you know, even today, like, we all have. And, you know, I think with any kind of change or direction, and especially like with me, like, I, you know, I've been quiet the last few years. So just doing, anything new, you know, being back in the industry, it needed to make sense. And this to me made sense. And just being a dad now, and, you know, looking at the world different, and, you know, with everything, COVID, you know, sure. I can't ride motorcycles in my neighborhood, but I can ride electric bike. And so that's what I thought about. First thing I thought about when we brought this up. So it was a no brainer to me. And then to deal with like you and then Val and Yanni and just their background and the opportunity that they presented to me and just everything they've done. I just felt like the moto industry was looking, not looking for something to replace anything, but looking for an opportunity to create more eyeballs and viewers. And ultimately, like, people ride motorcycles, and to be able to do that in the places that we are going to be able to go racing, I think that's the key part that's going to get just the regular flipping through CBS and NBC, whatever it is, and the casual fan that doesn't really know everything about Supercross, motocross, it'd catch their attention. So, and then having the females involved in it, and then just what it does for the eco of the world, it's a no brainer. So I'm excited to be about it, for it, no matter who's a part of it. But definitely having you guys a part of it made it easy.
And it's your vision is, I mean, it's spot on. I mean, the way you look at things is really the way everybody should look at it. It's not here to replace. It's here to add, to open doors, to be able to go race in places where, you know, you would get a regular bike shot at within minutes. I mean, you know, Val and I were in Miami Beach not long ago looking at location, and we pulled a couple electric bikes on the beach.
Yeah.
And nobody was mad at us.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Just a different environment. Like, we saw cops going by, and because we were not making any noise, it was just like, people were just like so cool and smiley. It's just like, you know, just start the bike behind you, Roger. Oh, it's like, we are in jail. Yep.
Yeah.
So it's really an interesting concept. And there's one thing that people don't realize right away is how much fun it is to ride.
Yeah.
You know, it's like riding an electric bike makes life so much simpler. On a riding experience, you don't have to worry about anything else but the riding. And I was riding my Alta last night, and I was like, God, this is amazing how much fun it is, because you just have to turn the throttle. It's point and shoot.
Yeah.
Nothing else to do. You know?
Yeah, just plug it in.
Yeah. So you'll be amazed when we get you guys on the ride bikes, how much fun you have.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Josh did a, you know, him riding that, you know, the bike and stuff, the Alta. And I think he was, you know, he wrote that one too, right? The Stark. But I think he wrote the Alta. That's when he first brought it up to me. And then we had a little bit of stuff, you know, through Seven, just conversations with those guys. But Josh has done a good job at,
he's
promoting
the thing.
And like, he does it naturally, you know. I know Josh personally. He was my teammate for a while, so, you know, I know, you know, it's authentic too, you know.
Exactly.
Like, if he didn't he wouldn't like it, and I could tell he really did. And so the bike looked cool, and he definitely did a good job to make me like, you know, like, oh, that looks pretty good, I want to ride that thing. So but again, the man behind the scene was this guy right here. So I think that, like I said, all that, you know, it's just an honor. And I think, you know, the casual fan might not know how big of influence you've had on all of us. And like I said, it's whether it's in public or behind the scenes, yeah, like you are, and you see this sexy French voice and you're just like smooth criminal. I don't know if he's smooth criminal or smooth, but you know, he's smooth enough. But, you know, I was in, you know, once I heard you was into this.
Yeah. It's been, you know, it's been an honor to work with you all those years. You know, I've known you since you were a kid. You know, you had my first son on your lap when you were 8 years old, and we were just having fun around the MGM and all that stuff. So it was it's good to be back here. You know, I mean, it's at the end of the day, this industry is very tight, and I think we don't forget. You know, we don't forget the good people we work with.
Yeah,
and it's just you know, it's just we all part of each other's fabric in some ways, and at the end. At the end of the day, once again, it's like, hey, we want to do things together.
Yep.
If we see a project that seems to be progressive and opening the right doors, it's just like, you know, I was amazed how Roger was reacting to it, and even more amazed how you reacted to it.
Well, you had me hooked back when Ulta first came around.
Yes, so. We started that conversation years ago. Yeah.
But it's crazy even how far it's come since then.
Yes, the
bikes. And even since this whole thing started, it's already progressed a ton. You know, I'm learning every day when I talk to you and Yanni and Valentin. Literally, I'm learning more about it every day, and it's changing that fast.
Yes, so, and we have unbelievable players ready to get in gear. I mean, like we know the brands like Harley Davidson, like Honda, like, you know, Yamaha. They you know, I mean, Stark is doing a fantastic job. As we speak, they are introducing the bike to the world. And I can tell you that the vibe is phenomenal already. So it's, you know, we are in a good boat. It's going to be up to us to make it succeed, of course, because.
Yeah. How involved, like with Stark, like, are they really like invested in moving forward, like with this thing? Like, I mean, I've seen.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know, the deal with, you know, Josh and stuff, but, you know, some companies get into it and, you know, they want to do it, but like, are they still like heavily, you know, involved? I mean, we've had conversations with them, you know, Roger has, and there was an opportunity for me to go over there. They come down here. But, you know, like you personally, like I think you still being involved with it, it probably answers my own question. But they're in for the long haul to make this thing move forward.
Absolutely. I mean, it's they're thinking so big. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really Stark is looking at electric motorcycle like Elon Musk looked at, you know, electric cars and Tesla. So I think it's going to be phenomenal. As we speak, Josh is on a bike riding it in Spain, Josh Hill, and most of the world press is testing the bike, and the vibration coming back is amazing.
Yeah.
People are just shocked.
Yeah,
it's good. It's what we need. We need to wake up our industry, because really the biggest practical thing for all of us is a noise reduction. We know how much the noise is an issue for all of us and for motocross racing and riding. And sadly, we haven't been very good at fixing it, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure you had issues even here at your compound with the noise.
Yeah. You know? I mean, luckily for us, when we got this place, I mean, we could build an airport out here if we wanted to, but that's just zoning. But, I mean, if you go back to the industry, like, you know, they do sound testing every week, you know, try to bring down the noise. And, you know, we went to leaded to unleaded fuel. So the industry, you know, not knowing it, has been somewhat kind of going in this direction, like, you know, just trying to do, you know, sound testing. And even like when you're inside of a supercross, a dome, like, you know, certain things, smoke, ventilation and all that. Yeah. So the electric obviously solves a lot of those problems. You know, but I think, you know, when I announced I was doing this, you know, a lot of people kind of took, maybe I wouldn't say issue, but they were kind of shocked that I would, you know, whether it was from the FIM involvement or, yep, you know, the electric. And like I said earlier, like, you know, this isn't replacing anything. If you like riding two strokes, four strokes, like, you can continue doing this. But what this is doing is giving the opening the door to the opportunity to just expand motocross and motorcycles in general. So when I first heard about this, like, I didn't even think one bit about, you know, who was in like FIM or just, you know, our, the two stroke versus four stroke. I just saw it was a space and an opportunity for me to get involved in something that I felt like was one, exciting to me, but what the sport needed. Like, it was another way to grow the sport, whether it's been with seven, you know, the scrub, whatever it is, like, yeah, everybody to have an opportunity to continue to change and evolve the sport. It was just exciting. And then to have a little bit of history that I have with, you know, being able to ride, you know, my kids' little, you know, motorcycles at the house. Like, I kind of know, having a car that was electric. So I looked at it was like, you know, again, like, let's bring this in alongside, you know, two strokes, four strokes and all that. And I thought, like, I really wanted people to, you know, embrace that and understand that, look, it's a new wave. It's a new opportunity, not to replace, but to like evolve and continue to grow, which ultimately that's what we all want. And so, you know, the whole FIM and all that, people are like, ah, you know, why would you do that? You know? And, you know, unfortunate as that whole incident was, like, I look at it at the end of the day, it was my fault. And it was my fault on this. And I say that because, you know, it was there, you know, it was there, the whole, you know, TUE, not to jump in that subject, but, you know, it's frustrating and as things, the way things were done and, you know, and like the whole finding out and all that, like, yeah, it was frustrating and I could put blame and all that, but I am like, I do look at that whole situation is that, like, ultimately when I ride on a motorcycle, any choice that I make, it is my choice. So, you know, I could sit here and be like, well, they did this and they did that. They did. But at the end of the day, like, I could have stopped it. I could have dumped something about it for it not to happen. And then, you know, so I don't look at it. I don't blame FIM. I don't blame anybody for it. So this opportunity moving forward with this, them being involved, it's just another, I just look at it as they're involved to make this thing happen. Like, I would never let my own, you know, past histories and stuff dictate like what's best for, you know, myself, the industry, and, you know, definitely moving forward. So it was a no brainer to me. I never even thought twice about that until the fans said something. And, you know, so again, you know, having you involved, like the people that's, involved in this whole deal, it's me being a part of being an ambassador for this is special. So, I'm looking forward to it. I think we all have questions on, like, you know, how this thing is going to turn out and all that, but the concept and what it's there and what it has the possibility to do, not for just racing, but just motorcycles in general. And, you know, what's best for the world and all that. It's a slam dunk. So, you know, if we can, you know, I can work with you guys to help push that forward and bring the Bubba's World fans and just fans in general, alongside us, it's a win. So I'm looking forward to it too. And like I said, when he first brought it up to me, I was like, done. Like, do it. Like, do it. And that's before I knew all that. And, you know, so it's getting there. I think we have a few races, three races this year, possibly. And
yeah, that was my biggest concern, just the timeline to start that first round, which is what, September?
Yeah, September 10 should be the first race.
In the Swiss Alps?
Swiss Alps, yes. Yeah. On top of the Alps, actually.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yes, places where they don't even want to see a gas motorcycle.
Yep.
I mean, like, it's not even legal to race motocross, you know, pretty much anywhere.
And then we'll end the season in Miami, right?
Yes, to be confirmed, but it's looking good. And they had a great weekend last week, as we all know.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be on the same scale, but it's, you know, we have to start somewhere.
You have to start somewhere.
Yes, it's just, it's what's so amazing. It's like, you know, to be knowing that we can go in places like that, you know, and the environment is going to be so electric, no puns intended, you know. like we're going to be connecting with people that it would be very difficult to connect otherwise, you know. Yep. And that is for, you know, partners and other riders. We can have a complete different environment. You know, the space is really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, like, when the normal fan or just, you know, person you tell, like, one of my neighbors is the CEO of Hilton.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were playing golf and we were just talking about the podcast and stuff. And he was like, oh, yeah, what's going on? And I just brought up, like, yeah, you know, working on doing this, you know, not Formula E, but, you know, e-bike series with those guys. And I briefly just explained it, like, yeah, the female, it's electric bike. And he was like, oh, really? Really? And again, like, you know, this guy's, you know, CEO Hilton, you know, does his thing. Like, it's the first time I actually really talked to him and been neighbors with him for like 6 years on there. And so it's not like he's a friend, but not a friend where, you know, we have multiple conversations. And I remember, like, walking in my car and he basically tracks me down and says, hey, that's really cool. Like, that's really cool. If maybe Hilton or whoever, well, I would like to get involved with it. And that told me right there, it was just the fact that it was the female version of it. And then what the, you know, E-side, electric side of things, it was a slam dunk to have him, you know, be that engaged in and want to be a part of it. And his biggest thing was the females, you know, just the opportunity to, you know, with the women and then, you know, eco for the world and all that. It was like, yeah, that's something that we want to be involved in. And like I said, he knows who I am. You know, he knows if he wants to be a part of race team, I can, you know, open up some doors for that.
But he never asked.
It was that.
I think that was the business model to kind of start, right?
Yes.
Because it does check all the boxes for a corporate sponsor like that.
And it's really what we're trying to do, you know, when we are brainstorming all together, is to try to bring new people. Because it's clear that, you know, the old sponsors, we know them all. It's like we have 10 good sponsors in motorcycle industry, and it's really like the same.
You know,
I'm looking at all the bikes, you know, and you have and all the trophies you have in your house. And
yeah, we're all fishing in the same pond.
Yeah, it's like the same. We do a lot of recycling, and I think we have a chance to bring new people to the sport, and maybe they'll come to electric because it's a new approach, and then maybe they'll help the gas.
Yeah.
You know, the IC engine situation, because they'll get excited by the sport.
Yeah.
You know, it's totally possible.
Yeah, it's like anything. I mean, you gotta, it's like you want to see a house, well, they got to see the photos first, you know? Yeah. And I think this is just opening up the doors for them to get into the industry, to check out all the cool stuff we do have and you know, what our sport is about. But you got to get them there first. And I think this has got them there. And it wasn't even what took me by surprise. It wasn't the fact that it was a budget thing, because, you know, we didn't even talk about that. It was the fact that just the concept of what it was made him want to be involved before he even knew anything else. So I look at that as like, okay, well, if I can get this guy to be interested into it, I know once he comes in and sees like what we do here at motocross and our whole family and all the racers and supercross, like, I know he's going to take part of that, you know? So I just got to get him to the door to look in and see all this cool stuff that we have. And, you know, so it was quite surprising how much he was really into it. So, and then, you know, once you get into the details, then it's a non-brainer. But I think that was an eye-opening to me. So it was like, yeah, I think this is something that might be pretty good.
Absolutely. And, you know, most of the people are reacting that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you tell them, hey, we're going to have a race in Aspen or in Monte Carlo. I'm like, that's the kind of places we all dreamed of being, you know, in some other, for some other reason. But it's just, it's going to bring new fans.
Yeah.
We're going to see people that we didn't see, you know, at a regular track. And my experience being involved with the Paris Supercross for 30 years plus.
Booba!
Yeah.
I throw that out. Yeah. Air horn. Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we were able to bring different kind of fans because it was in the center of Paris. You know, we were getting a different crowd. And the hardcore crowd was still there.
Yeah.
But there was also a different crowd.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not saying it's going to happen with electric, but I think we're going to see a lot of different people, you know, willing to come and spend, you know, a couple hours watching our peers racing compared to being too loud, too smoky. You know, and all that stuff that, you know, it's exciting to us, but not to everybody. So we have to be facing that reality.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think, like, again, it's more about the opportunity and what you're watching. I mean, I think when we talk about that sports are too loud, well, I've been to a Monster Jam and those things are loud, but the whole family's there, you know, the kids, they got their, you know, earplugs on and whatnots. But then you go to Supercross and yeah, maybe the old lady don't want to go, you know? And I think this just has an opportunity. It's motorcycle, it's racing. And that's what we all, like, no matter what kind of form of racing it is, like, we all get excited to see that. So I just think this crosses off a lot of boxes. And like I said, it's a win-win for all of us. It's not like when, you know, the two-stroke and four-stroke ones replace another. We got long ways before that. And even if that was the case, like, well, it's happening. Whether, you know, we either embrace it and get behind it and make the most of it and try to, you know, direct it maybe kind of the way we would like it to see what fits into our sport. Or we can sit back and watch it just happen and have no control over it. So 99% of the people, when I mentioned it, they were stoked on it. They looked at it as an opportunity and, oh, that's cool, James. Like, you know, that's exciting. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. And more questions about incitement, questions about how and where and, you know, when this thing was going to happen. And then you got the 1% that is not negative. It was just more, they love two strokes. They love, you know, motorcycles that. And so I'm speaking of that 1%, like, hey, like, you know, it's not a replace. It's all of us. It's a another option too. So, you know, when you go to a store, you like to have options and this is one of them. So,
and I think, you know, the fact that you've been rather quiet the last few years, having you coming back as excited as you are is really meaningful.
No.
You know, because it's not like you've been doing infomercials for like the last 5 years.
I'm not Shaq. Yeah. You know, every time you turn every other commercial, it's Papa John's. And hey, by the way, you know, I can do that if you want that. But, you know, no, for sure. I definitely looked at that. And, you know, I've for sure try to, you know, pick the things. Because, you know, being retired and you know, where I'm at in life, like, I knew if I wasn't, like, intrigued into it, it wouldn't last long. You know? You know, I love golfing and, you know, I love my kids. So that's it. And I think just this, have an opportunity to, when you guys brought it up and say, hey, like, would you really not only like to be involved in this thing and have a team, but would you be an ambassador and speak on this? And I have to really think, like, all right, like, that sounds good, but, like, would you really do that? Like, you know, like, take away a couple golf sessions, all that. But I was excited about it. And I knew, you know, I knew I wanted to be involved even from the racing standpoint. Yeah. And I just thought, like, to all the things that, like, just me and all the people I can reach and just, you know, speaking and engagement, like, I was in. So no, 100%, like,
it's clear to me that it's a place where you want to take your wife and kids.
Yeah.
You know, and that means a lot to a sport, you know, like, for instance, just a funny example, you know, I never been more excited than being at the top fuel starting line at the drag race. Yeah. I don't want to take my wife and kids there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Eyes burning and all that and heart beating. But
you're like, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. But I'm not sure it's a place where I want to take my family.
Yeah.
So it's a...
Valentin, his first pitch to me was he wanted it to be a place that your wives could go and wear high heels.
So yeah.
I'm like, oh, sign me up for that. I'll go to that series.
You're getting married?
No. Yeah. I didn't say why.
Breaking news. Yeah. I think that's why I like, you know, even though, like, that's why Supercross does well. You know, you get a lot of celebrities there because it's inside and you can't wear high heels there. You know, you ain't wearing that at Unadilla. No. You know, you got to be true moto fan, but one helps the other, another one helps the other. You know, like it's all, you know, one.
And just like this will.
Yeah, you just get options. So, you know, it's, you know, I don't even know why we kind of even harping on it. I think everybody was on board. I think it's more just, you know, people, they question what they don't know. Well, we're here to tell you and introduce you to a, you know, new opportunity to.
And there's a lot of things people don't know. Like, you know, obviously the biggest question with electric racing is you don't have a displacement. People are very confused about how you generate the power. And we have to keep, I mean, all of us, we have to actually detune it and make sure people understand that, you know. The fact is you don't have 450s, you don't have 250s. Yeah. You have electric motors that can be so unbelievably powerful.
Yeah.
And I mean, out of a 70-pound engine, I think they've been pulling 300 horsepower, you know, like for those electric supercars. And it's just, you know, it's going to be a technical challenge, you know, to make sure that you have fair racing. And a lot of people are very nervous right now in the gas racing world because they're just afraid that suddenly you could show up at a supercross or motocross race and be having an unfair advantage. And, you know, that's why we decided to create that, electric only racing, because we need to get the bikes better, you know, and it's going to be really like a test tube to get the electric motorcycle, you know, on a different level. And then time will tell, but you know, it's politically pretty charged there.
Yeah.
You know, as far as getting an electric bike next to a gas bike.
Yeah. I mean, anything, if it's hard, it's worth doing, you know. I don't think it's, but we know like the end result, it could be pretty special. So, you know, how does for the casual fan, I know, but like, how does it, the series, you know, this year is, we're this new. So how do you, in the next couple of years and stuff, like how would the format work as far as like the classes, the females and I guess the, how many races that we want to have like moving forward, like how does that kind of work?
Not too many. No, I'm just kidding. It's like, the plan is to have 8 to 10 races within a couple of years, basically everywhere in the world from Rio to, I mean, we've talked about having race in Greenlands because they would welcome us.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so it's all exotic locations, and places that mean something, like the show, kind of like, you know, what we've seen in downhill racing for mountain bikes.
Yeah.
You know, they choose a very hilly town and they race in the middle. We have the same opportunity, and the racing is going to be on two aspects. Going to be an endurance type racing to basically a traditional race, which we will drain the battery and kind of push the limit on a regular basis. And there'll be the main race would be more like a bracket straight rhythm style,
cool. You
know, with obstacle and with a relay, male, female will have equal time on the bike.
Yeah.
So, you know, not only you'll need to be on a good bike, you need to have a good male rider and a good female rider. So that's going to make a lot of stories.
Yeah.
You know, people like stories now. They just, it's not as simple as dropping the gate and 20 minutes of racing. Here we'll have, you know, when do they rotate riders, which riders they've chose, you know, and all that stuff. So it's on paper once again, because we're only talking about things on paper. On paper, it sounds like it's checking all the boxes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to have it on paper to even know where to start. Yeah. So, no, that's cool. And then, you know, me and Roger were talking in the garage about like just the kids. It always seems like everything evolves back down to like all right, Lang, so how can you get the kids involved? Like, you know, how they would do it. So now that's cool. And I think Robbie Madison is a part of it. Yeah. You know, and there's 12 teams, right?
Yes, correct? 12 teams. That's a max structure. I don't think we can go much bigger than that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. But you don't have 12 teams yet, right? Right now, do we?
Not yet. We may do the first season with 8 teams. You know, right. We don't know yet. It's going to be, you know, it's snowballing kind of at a quick pace. You know, we have calls from a lot of companies, startups companies.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you can't get the team. It's about selecting the teams. And once you have one of those tickets to the Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory, you got to make sure you got it. So, no, that's cool. So the first one is in Swiss, as in the Alps.
Yep.
And the second one's where?
Spain.
Spain. Right. Okay. The third one would be in U.S.
Yeah, down here in Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the, who's... Anybody racing it like so far?
We'll have a lot of very good riders interested.
Yeah,
I see. Yeah, finding riders is going to be a problem. No, I've been hit up by a ton of people already.
Yes, it's a lot of people wanting to be part of it. I think we're going to need to find the right profile. Is going to be a moto guy that may have a little bit of off-road ability because it's not going to be as fast as moto. You know, or as big the jumps to start with anyway. And so it's going to be somebody that kind of like a jack of all trades, somebody that's pretty comfortable, you know, like Mike Brown was, you know, in his career. He could
downtown.
Jump.
Why you got to bring up Mike Brown?
Yeah, Mike Brown was able to go from supercross to endurocross to anything, you know, and he had this talent. He still has this talent of being able to, you know, master most of the motorcycle skills.
Yeah, I was watching. He's in endurocross.
Yeah, he won X Games in endurocross. So it's just like amazing what he can do. So, you know, those kind of guys, I think, are going to be in high demand. The hyper-specialized rider that can only do supercross or only do motocross, they're not going to be the right guys, you know. So I expect to see a lot of good top off-road guys, you know, more than actually the motocross guys.
Same with on the women's side of things too.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep,
absolutely. They'll need to be able to understand how to navigate obstacles and things like that. So, you know, we'll see. We'll adapt. We'll adapt to the terrain to what is needed.
Well, me and Raj are gonna be there. So we got a lot of work to do. Raj is going to be the team manager. I already told him. He's going to fit into it between shows. He'll never show up.
I saw him working on the bike. He was doing good.
He was working on the bike, natural with
the tools, you know. So
sweating over here.
Yeah, just have to be careful with the red wire.
Yeah. between this, the podcast, Evan, you, Malk.
I'll
be team manager of this too.
Yeah.
But I'm actually looking forward to it.
I think it's one of the reasons Raj and I, we get along so well, because we both are Swiss knives of the industry.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, that was Davey Coombs called me a Swiss knife a long time ago, so I'll give it to Davey.
I mean, certainly for me, I think, you know, just riding the Stasics and stuff, just having like 5 batteries and things like that is easier than what my dad had to go through, like a PW50, you know, and
clutches,
you know, all that stuff. So, you know, I could see the benefits from that, but I'm interested to kind of hear your thoughts, like, you know, all the benefits that, you know, I know, but I think maybe the casual fan doesn't, you know, and kind of explain to them, like, it is. You know, I think once you get there, and like I said, once you get to the door and you look in, like, there's going to be a lot of things that you're going to be like, oh man, this is better. This is easier. This is, you know, this and this and this. So, maybe I have explained a little bit of that. So from your point of view.
Sure. No problem. And it's funny because it's always come back to kids, as you said earlier. And my youngest son, you know, I put him on a peewee, like we all did. You started riding on a peewee. We all started to ride on peewees, and he had a crash and he burned himself. And pretty much he was done. He didn't want to get back on a peewee.
Yeah.
And I was bummed, because as a moto dad, you want your kids to ride. And at that time, it was about 15 years ago, they had released that new Osset, you know, mini electric bike, which was the first one on the market, you know. And I got an Osset. I put him back on it, and he was back on the bike. They was done, you know. And I discovered at that time right away that the maintenance was virtually zero. I mean, you don't have filters, changing oil, and all that stuff that we claim we enjoy, but we don't.
Yeah.
You know, it's a, and that was kind of like my opening door to the electric world as a dad. And the next thing I know is look at KTM with their 50 electric. They can't keep one in a store. I mean, there's the maintenance aspect of electric is ridiculously low.
Yeah.
You know, you're still going to burn tires. You're still going to stretch chains, but out of that,
that's it.
Yeah.
You
know, tightness
spokes. And,
And if you like the maintenance, then we can pick the other route too.
It's just buy a 1950 Triumph
and
work on it all day long. Yeah. And we know in our world, a lot of people likes to work on bikes.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with that. You know, I like to ride them. I don't like to work
the same way. Yeah. No, it's, you know, and just thinking about it, like, some of the things when you go to do something, like you think about like all the work that you got to do to do what you want to do.
And then so, afterwards too.
Yeah. You're like, it's not like, all right. It's fun. Of course, if I can go do what I want, like everybody would do it. It's everything that leads up to it, you know, before and afterwards. So this just gives you an option to, you know, cut 90% of that out. And then just to be able to enjoy that, you know, with the family and you just saying, excuse me, you just saying like, the filters and all that stuff, like, you know, my kids riding those bikes, I never even thought about that because I don't have to do it, you know? So I'm like, if they were riding a PW50, one, they wouldn't be riding it where they are. Yeah. And then two, like, you know, I'm like, man, I ain't going out there right now. It's like, you got a battery, it's charged up, and they go, like, you know, and we could ride in the yard. So for sure, I think that's going to be the part once you get into it, you see all the benefits and
the
stuff.
Fun aspect. I mean, and the fun aspect is linked to the fact you have less maintenance.
Yeah.
You know, less maintenance is more fun. And, you know, you and I, we share that passion for cars and we've been having a lot of good cars in our life. And, you know, you always go back to one.
Yeah.
Because you like it better. What I've learned is the last 5 years, they often go back to the Alta in my garage.
Yeah.
Because I know she's always ready.
Yeah.
You know, she's always ready as long as I plugged it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the bike is, you don't get disappointed. There's no bad day with carburation or something that goes wrong. It's just like, frick, just works.
Yeah. Know? And I think for the moms out there, like, I mean, imagine the moms being able to take the kids that are to the track and they don't have to worry about that. Cause I mean, part of it was like, even when my mom used to take me, is my dad used to, all right, honey, I got filters. I got this and I got that. Like, and like, can you do it? Like now it's like, you know, hey, like you want to go ride, like go ride. So again, that's all the extras, the icings, the, you know, the things that you benefit. Like once you get into it, the whole concept of like what in the totality of what we're doing, it's a no-brainer to me. It's just nice to be able to get into something and there be all these benefits along with it that you don't think about it until you go do it. And those are the minute stuff. And whether it is a change in filter, whether it is the old lady can take the kids to the, or, you know, she can go ride if she wants to.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, it's the fact that you can ride in places. Like you can ride it in my neighborhood. You can do that. So, it's just exciting to be a part of to do it at this level. That's the cool part for me to be able to watch this series and try to evolve this thing on a worldwide stage. You know, that's the exciting part. But as far as just electric motorcycles and that whole concept, like that's gonna happen anyway. You know, and that's slowly happening now to bring it to a whole new audience. I think that's what our job is and you know, to create this you know, these events and get sponsors and all that stuff involved. That's what we get to do and have fun with it. So, I'm definitely looking forward to that. But yeah, when you look at the everyday, you know, the benefits of that, it's a no brainer. So
we're just the messengers here. No. You know, we're going to tell people, you know, how much easier it is. And look at Stasic and the KTM 50. I mean, they've been enormous success. And, you know, I don't think those kids are going to, you know, they're going to be looking forward necessarily to be on a gas bike. Maybe they'll adapt to it and be happy with it. Maybe yeah. they'll become two-stroke fans, four-stroke fans. But the fact is, they'll remember how fun it was when they were kids
yeah.
on their Stasic or electric 50.
Yeah, I mean, and as you get older, I mean, life changes. Like, you start doing stuff for your kids and stuff. And mm-hmm. I mean, as much as I love the two-stroke, I still love it to this day, hearing it. It's a lot easier to enjoy stuff as a family or go out and watch other kids and families, like when everybody can ride and it's not wearing on dad or mom to try to make that happen. And the kids, all they remember is being able to ride, like you said, and bonding as a family. So just the, anything in our sport to make that happen, whether it is electric bikes, gas bikes, or motocross gear, whatever that is, that's our job to, you know, make things easier. And to, when it's easier and you can have fun at it, that brings more people and involvement into it. So now to what we're doing is obviously creating more opportunities to do what's easy, you exactly. know, more in more different places. But like you said, we're messengers on it. Like, it's going to happen whether, you know,
yes,
it's,
exactly.
whether we're involved in it or not. I think it's cool to be able to have the say and be like, hey, like, maybe you should check this out, you know, and really believe into it, which we do. That's the fun part about it. So
yeah, just pay attention. It's happening. It's not here to take out, you know, the other brand or the world, but it's happening, and give it a chance, because if you ride an electric bike, you'll have fun. Yeah. And it's what matters. Fun is just the only thing we care about at yeah. the end of the day.
Yeah. Seeing everybody else smile. And yeah, it is. So no, that was awesome. I appreciate it. We're going to be doing some great things. So we'll.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
And bet it will.
I'm a little dozed off right there because I was thinking about, like, oh, I kind of go on a ride right now. So, but it was good. But it was awesome having you on, Eric. It was, like I said, everything I said, I meant, and to be able to do this just is opening up some more doors and kind of leading down an avenue that is a first for me. And so that's exciting to be able to, you know, be a part of not only be a part of a sport, but to have real involvement of how, you know, things grow and with this sport and Yanni and Roger and all of us to go down this avenue. So it's going to be fun and yeah, we'll get started here in the Alps. So it was a pleasure having you on. And then,
thank you so much for the hospitality. It was a great yeah. pleasure being here with you.
Yeah. All right, guys, we'll be right back. And once again, I want to thank my guest, Eric Pinard, the man right here. And, we'll see you guys here soon. We'll be right back. What's going on, guys? You know who it is. It's your boy, James Stewart. You see this bike? It's pretty, ain't it? A Bubba's World replica. Right now, it's mine. You want a chance to win it? If you do, make sure you go with Motorsports Curated. Follow their Instagram page. Make sure you follow everybody they follow. Bring three of your friends that have a chance to win this thing. Because right now it's mine, but it could be yours. Go check that page out and enter to win. Hey, guys, we're back. Man, that was good to have Eric on here. It was so cool to see him. That's the first time I really, spoken to him, I guess, outside of a racing setting, you know, besides this deal, obviously, but it seems like a lot of people with Davey and even Daniel, it's probably the first time I really talked to Daniel, but it's like I'm talking to people the first time, like, because I'm not racing. So it's like a natural, like, there's no, you know, just an easy conversation. And it's like, no,
yeah,
cool.
But I think it's weird for them too, because it's the first time they're talking to you, not racing. So there's,
we dating, first time, dating, we just met. Yeah, photo looked as good as it did on there. Default was all right. Yeah, but no, it was good. You can thank him again for coming on here. And yeah, that's about it. But before we go, let's, you know, we got to do, we got to pick the outdoors like we did for Supercross. And, you know, your title pick, my title pick, I'll be right, you know.
But all right, what do you got?
I can't believe Dungy's coming back, bro. I thought he was making coffee.
The first time I heard it, all I thought of was like getting the phone call from you, like, hey, I want to come back, I want to race. I'd be like, I got to go.
I mean, that's what you thought about when you,
that's that, when like I heard that? That's what I thought of.
I send no signals to you that I would actually make that phone call?
No, I didn't think you would, but I was like thinking, if I did get it, what would I do? And I would
probably, you would hang up?
I would probably.
Yeah. I would hope you would hang up. I was like, dude, you'd be like, I'm flying down there right now, and we're going to talk. We're going to go sit in Kokomo Road, Haines City, and you're just going to sit in that heat like I did when I was shooting this commercial. And that made me go, nah, I'm good.
And it was hot this morning.
Yeah, it was hot. How about, like, instead of me coming back, I'll just come back to a race and maybe just talk and maybe announce one of these things.
There you go.
Yeah, maybe do that. See if we can work that out this year.
I'll pick up the phone for that.
All right. All right.
Pick up the phone.
But yeah, I was surprised with Dungy. I was surprised, but I wasn't, you know, because he's been riding. You know, like, he still looks in shape. You know, I think that's the thing. When you retire and you start getting skinny again and you used to be a racer, they think, like, oh, you must be racing.
Want to come back.
Yeah. I appreciate all that people. You know, you're like, oh, yeah, James look good. Like, oh, yeah. Like,
I like
thank
Fat
you.
James,
yeah, like, thank that. Yeah, Fat James, you knew. James, you Fat James didn't have to make that question. But, yeah, I'm excited to see it. Like, I don't know what the hell, like, is going to happen. But it wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if he did what Ryan Dungy does on there. So that should be good. But you got Eli. I think there's a lot of questions going into it because Eli's somewhat hurt coming off the title last time he did that. He had a rough season. I guess he wasn't the Eli we thought after he won the title, but he wasn't hurt back then. And then Cooper's out. Caroli's coming.
Roxon's coming back.
He's coming back.
He'll be at the outdoors. Did you see his, you see his message?
Oh man, I sent him off like a while. I told you I found the problem when he was under the desk. That's cool. He's coming back. Like, is anybody like, how is he? Like, have you spoken to him? Have you seen anything from him?
I saw him at Salt Lake. He was stoked on the mascot. He thought that was cool.
What were you saying? That's see what?
See.
You said, did I see something from Roger?
The Instagram post. So quick.
Oh, did you see the message that Kenny?
Yeah, posted? To quickly
can
sum
you pull it
up? Yeah, quickly to sum it up. Many people out there thought or think I was and am done and I will never be the same. What's crazy about it is I almost believed it, almost F you and F that. I will be back at the highest level of racing. I do not give a flying shit what anyone thinks about my opinion. You can either support me or go kick rocks for all I care. I have made up my mind and no one can tell me otherwise because I believe that's how it's going to be. It may take some time, but I'm okay with that. I'm done it before and I will do it again. I am not done.
And sorry for the language, but yeah, not really. Ah, damn. Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. I think like, well, he's contradicting himself by saying he doesn't care, but he's writing his letter on there. And, you know, I think if I wouldn't have saw this, I'd have been like, all right, maybe he's back. You know, I think if you'd have been more silent coming into it, just let, you know, the riding do his thing. But I think like when you start doing this, you're trying to convince yourself and you're trying to convince other people. And that just never ends well. You know, I think if you believe it, then like make everybody else believe it. Like the fact is, if Ken went out, won the first race, nobody would think any different. Like they would think, oh, it's cool to have him back. He's done that before. It wouldn't be surprising. Ken went out.
He won A1.
Yeah, but a lot too.
Yeah.
If Ken went out the first race, got 10, he wouldn't be surprised by that either. He's coming back off, like all that. So I guess why even put the pressure on yourself to say all this stuff? And I think the key part of that sentence is when he goes, it might take a while. So as I see it, I'm like, you're saying you're going to come back and do all this stuff, but you're also giving yourself a little bit of an out by saying it might take a while. So expect me to be back, but don't expect me to be back in a sense. I don't know. Like, I don't think you needed to say that. And I think that's more of a trying to convince himself and others
right
on there. And I don't think that ever ends well. Like, if you're not doing it for your own self, then, you know, everybody else shouldn't matter. Part of it's right. It shouldn't matter what everybody else thinks. But the fact that you let others make you write this post and all this stuff, like, just shows a little bit of weakness to me. And just come out and just do your thing. Like, just beat that ass. You ain't racing the fans anyway. So unless all the riders are saying that, like, they're saying that, then, like, why does it really matter? Like, on there, the fans, they love you. Like, shit, I love you. Like, we all love you. We want to see you back. And the people that talk crap, like, they're going to talk crap once you win anyway. Once you win the first race, they're going to be like, see, you got to wait to the, you're going to do this and you're going to fade. And when you don't fade, they're going to be like, just give it a little longer. You have to win the title. And they're going to be like, well, Eli or whoever wasn't there, like, they'll never satisfy him. So, like, that point, this post is just opening up way many doors and questions and just showing, I think, riders and other people maybe a weakness for people to, in order to talk to people that you can never satisfy anyway. So, it just sucks. You know, sucks. Been there, done that. Many times I wanted to click that Instagram, say this and that. It never ends well. And the main thing is you're talking, you're trying to convince somebody else. That to me is like, you're not convinced yourself.
I think we kind of skimmed over the Caroli thing, but how do you see that going?
I don't know. He's like Dungy to me. Like, he retired too. Same. He retired. It's like the year the old people are in. Yeah, I mean, I thought about it, but nah, I ain't think about it that long. Yeah, Caroli's back. 10-time world champ, I think he is. Dungy. Champ. Roxon, champ. He beefing on Instagram. You know, no Webless. We Webless this year.
No, yeah, Webless.
Kubrain's McGrath filling in for Wilson. A filler. Savachi. He might be up there every once in a while.
I don't know how he, health-wise.
Didn't
he have a knee? I don't know how long he's been riding and how where he's at right now. But
he did gel well with that Cowie back when he did ride for them. I felt like he had a couple of decent rides.
I heard they were going to sign Anstey, but Jason didn't want him on the team.
Yeah, I mean, I was good back when I was good. I mean,
see, I didn't know that it was not a agreement between Anderson and...
Yeah, I think they got beef from like way back, like amateur days when Anstey was here. Yeah.
Oh, Sabachi and beef. Jason got beef with everybody.
Well, there was also that rumor that Anstey, I don't know where...
Oh, Anstey? Him and...
Yeah, from like way back. Like
I said, Jason got beef with everybody.
That Anstey was supposed to, if he didn't get a ride here, he was either going to go back to the GPs or something.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's going to end up.
Did he go back to GPs?
Not yet. I mean, we don't know.
Does he get a ride?
No, not here.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not that anything's announced.
It's funny. Like he was like, I ain't going to do this. I ain't going to do that. And people are like, all right. Like, cool. I ain't going to make all. You scared you're going to go back. Like, I mean, you either get one, you don't. Like, it ain't that. Like, it's blasting on Instagram. Like, it's goddamn fly talking shit over here.
Sorry. We got Plessinger back.
Yeah, AP. Yeah, I think the outdoor season, there's a lot of, like, question marks. I think it's going to be about, like, what others don't do that allows these others to do what they do. Like, it's not like, I mean, Dylan, I think he'll come back in. And I mean, who knows? He maybe pick up from dominating, but
I would have to think he does.
But I also think, man, like, my dad told me this a long time ago, once you quit once, you can quit again. That's just truthfully. And I'm not saying this because of Dylan, like, you know, like, and shit, I might pick him again to win Supercross title or top three. But I just think, like, it's you gotta have more fight. Like, you gotta have more fight. Like, you know, like, more fight. And I'm saying that from a guy who, like, somewhat, you know, gave up, like, in there. Or I wouldn't say gave up, but, like, when Washougal, there was something that clicked in me. And I was like, I you know, I can't. And it was, that was it. So I feel like just watching him roll around in those whoops at A1, like, I saw it. Like, I'm like, uh-oh. And you just saw that happen. But at least, but in 2021, he would have bad races. He was starting back of the pack and come up. Like, he would go down the first corner and come up, like, on there. He didn't do none of that this year. Like, so that's a difference right there. So even going into the outdoors, you saw the speed and you saw how good he was, like, you know, last year's Supercross season. So him winning outdoors is like, all right, well, the guy was fighting. Well, this year, like, I mean, he was hurt, obviously, but, like, there's a few times that we just, like, he just kind of gave up.
But
so,
I got to think he's just been in Tallahassee the last month.
Yeah.
Just grinding outdoors.
I'm sure he has. What happens, like, if Eli goes on a win, like, he starts to dominate, or Jason's good, right? And let's say he has a bad couple of races. What happens then? Like, you got to goddamn fly. I'm sorry, people. I'm sorry. It's really bugging me. I do stink. But what happens, like, if he goes on a, you know, Eli's winning or whoever's winning and he's struggling first couple of races, does he fight through it, like, on there?
He's got the number one plate. I think it's mindset's different in outdoors than he's probably was in Supercross. I mean, he's got the number one plate.
I mean, of course, you're going to show up with that and all that, but mindset. The only person mindset that I would say that can maybe flip that switch was Mike Alessi. Mike Alessi really did have a different mindset between Supercross and Motocross. And if you could physically see it,
probably pretty.
Nah, I mean, that would if that was the case, then I'd be like, well, Dylan never win a title, outdoor Supercross title. Like, and Dylan would never believe he can win that because his mindset, he's an outdoor rider. I don't think it's that. I mean, he's a damn champion. I just think, like, if you show weakness, you show an opportunity and you do roll over, then it can happen again. Like, I think it happened again. Not saying it will, and I hope it don't, but it wouldn't be surprising if it does. And, like, you know, you could tell yourself that. You could tell yourself, like, I'm going to sit back here and do that. But I think he worked his butt off to go to the Supercross season, too. Like, I think he was working hard for that, too. What happened?
Okay, so with all that said, who...
I'm picking Dylan Wynn outdoors.
Oh.
You just said...
I'm just kidding. I just threw that in. I wanted to pull a rocks in on you. I want to say all this
I'm
stuff.
I'm picking Dylan Wynn.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't... I think Anderson.
I'm going to go with that too.
Yeah. No,
I like just that we have different picks. So, yeah, you go with Jason.
Well...
Good pick, but...
Yeah. I mean...
The money's on you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's open. It really is open. But I do believe, like, I think Jason has an opportunity.
Carrying momentum.
Yeah, but I also think he...
Never won a race.
He's never... Yeah, well, I mean, Dylan never won a race until he won the outdoor title last year. He was a rookie, you know, sometimes it's got to happen, and then it happens, you know? Like, I think if anybody can, I think he would. But I would say, out of all the people, like, that hasn't won a race, like, do you feel like that's going to hurt him? Do you think he could not win the title because he hasn't won a race? Or do you think he can not win the title because, like, he might make mistakes and he might not be the fastest? But I guess some people, you'd be like, if you put him in that situation, do you think he can handle it? That's where it really comes down to it. Usually, guys who haven't won races, now to end up winning the whole thing, it becomes like, can they sustain and handle being the guy? And I think we all agree that Jason can handle that. Like, he's...
I think he learned in the end of the season because he was pretty fast at the beginning of the Supercross season, but then kind of had some off races where you'd either go down or,
you know, bad luck get
into it with someone. And then I think he finally figured out, like, hey, if I'm going to make this work, I got to put these things together. And, you know, won the last four in a row.
If you watch Jason throughout the whole year, Jason rode the same all year long. Like, Jason didn't have an up and down Supercross season. He rode the same. Like, when he won the race, when he lost the race, it looked the same. What he did do was Jason was racing emotionally. It's kind of like what we saw with Malcolm growing. You kind of forget what you're doing. Forget that, oh, dude, I'm only 3 points out of this title. Like, on there, I have a chance to do that. I think Jason was still racing in that mindset of, like, trying to prove to himself and everybody else of, like, I'm back. Like, you know, sometimes you got to come into the season and just be fast to let everybody know, like, you're back. That's step one. That's a win. And then you got to win a race. And then you can start, like, okay, being there and being consistent to fight for a title. But those mindsets are different. And I think in the beginning part of the season, Jason was fast. He was winning. He was threatening to shoot all y'all. And when he got into it with Malcolm and those guys, I think he was still in that mindset of still proving to himself and everybody else that he belongs and he really has a title fight. Because Jason didn't have off races. Like, he didn't, like, it wasn't like a race he just got seventh and he was there. He was winning the race and took out, and somebody took him out, and he had those. But I think at the end of the part of the year, like, he realized that he basically lost the title because of what he did. And I think he just sewed that up, and instead of getting into it with guys, I mean, he would just wait or whatnots and bad luck, good luck. And I think he just finished out the season exactly the way he rode all year. He just stayed out of trouble. So I think the only thing that changed was just him recognizing where he was and the long-term goal, the supercross, the trying to win the title. So, but he didn't fluctuate. He rode the same. He rode good all year long. So going into the outdoors, I think he has an opportunity to win this. I think he sees there's a little bit of weakness with Eli, with him being hurt. And Eli won that title. So somewhat he's a little full. So maybe he might not be as hungry as Jason is to try to get that first victory. And yeah. I think the other guys that he's racing with, I think Dylan's showing that he possibly can, you know, bow down if things are going, you know, wrong, even though maybe that's unlikely with number one plate. It's a possibility. So if you start attacking him and getting him down, like, there might be a chance he might, you know, roll over a little bit. And then who else you racing with?
What do you think about Sexton?
Yeah,
I think he'll be the same this year as he was last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think he might be like, yeah, I mean, it's hard to, when you watch guys and you're like, you know, you start picking reasons of like, what, why wouldn't he do it? Because like, we all think that it's not like he can't do it, you know, not like he's fast enough, but it's all the intangibles that like, of like, just finishing it off. And I personally think he didn't get better this year. He could have won races last year too.
But I still think he's going to have a.
Yeah. And I think that part's like, you know, didn't show up even the last couple of races. I mean, he was back on the podium, but it wasn't like no, all the mistakes are gone. Like, he's just solid. You can pick him every week and he's solid. Maybe he'll figure that out during outdoors this year, but until he sews that part up, like, I think it would be hard to pick him for a title because
yeah,
it's still going to be there. Like, he's still going to be some up and down, like, races and stuff. So
he did win Washougal. I was trying to remember which one he won.
I mean, he won Paula the first year too.
Yep.
You know?
Oh yeah, that's right. He did.
Yeah. He was winning the first race.
Yeah.
Or he was coming the thing ain't about speed. I just think it's like some more like everything else that's happening. So would I be surprised? Like, no. Would I be surprised?
So
yeah, I think that's with a lot of them. Dungy, Caroli, Sexton. You'd be surprised, but you wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I think maybe fatherhood, making coffee. You know, maybe those things changed him, but I also think like certain people's mindset of anybody that's coming back out of retirement, I think he has the right mindset because of how he is as a person. He's never been too, I mean, I've known Dungy for a long time and he's emotional like we all are. But he's not an up and down like racer. Like, he's not like a first and then a 10th guy. He's not emotionally bound, like, and, you know, driven, like where it can just affect him. So the way he rides, he's most podiums like ever, him and Chad and like that. He's very consistent, even keel. So
right.
I would not be surprised if he was just like there be because every of week. Like the way he is on there. I don't think him being a gong away from not racing takes away from what made Ryan, if that makes sense. Like, I think what made Ryan was just there, you know, just consistent, you know, a good foundation. What made James Stewart me was lack of fear, you know, like I'll die trying, a fast speed. Well, that goes away.
And it doesn't always work.
Yeah, it doesn't always work. But like the first thing has to be is like, I got to be willing to go out there and die for it. Like, just continue trying. And that's how I raced. Well, I think Ryan, like, even though he was committed the same way I was, he also was, you know, just, I guess, built differently in there. Like, that wasn't his motto. It wasn't a speed thing. It's just like, he wants to be there. He's going to try and give it his hardest. So, I think of all the people like it that could unretire. I mean, I wouldn't even put Ricky in that. I wouldn't even put Chad in that category. Like, yeah. Could you go do it? Like, yeah, they could 100%. But I do think like Ryan,
I almost put the other Ryan in that category too with Dunge.
Villa? Yeah. No, I wouldn't put him in there either, because Ryan was, he was a killer too. Like, I mean, don't let that little redhead fool you. He was a killer. He would throw away a race to beat you, like on there, where I don't think I'd ever seen Ryan do that. Like Dungy, I've never seen Ryan like throw away a race because he just wanted to beat you. Or like Villa, Chad, you know, Ricky, myself, like, I, you know, F this, fuck this. I die. I ain't gonna let you win. I would, like, it's better than like neither one of us win. Where Ryan was never like that. And that's not a knock. That's just, you know, just how he was. A lot of people like that. So, I just think of all of us old guys retired. Like, he could be the one that doesn't, just because of that.
It's gonna be fun to watch either.
Oh, I know, right? Dude. I'm pulling for him. I'll tell you that. Like, I mean, I'm excited to see him. Yeah.
So obviously you're not coming back, but
yeah. I'm racing the E series.
Yes.
Yeah. E series. I gotta be a team manager or something. I could do something. Yeah.
Hypothetical. If you had to, looking at the schedule, if you had to go back for one, what would it
Buds
be?
Buds Creek. Buds Creek or Red Bud. But Red Bud, sometimes it get too hot there. And the track beat, it wears on. Even though it's fun, Butts Creek.
Not Millville, huh?
Hell nah. I love Millville. I love the people. I love them sandwiches. I remember getting tired there a lot. So I don't want to go there. Yeah. I mean, I'll come to Butts Creek this year. Maybe.
All right, Butts Creek.
Maybe I'll talk. Maybe I'll race. I don't know. Oh. It's the 20th year anniversary since the scrub or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Close to that.
Yeah. 50 years of.
Yeah.
I'm 50 years of.
Like I said, 5 out of 4 people ain't good at math. So maybe my years are off. Like 2003 is 2022. Isn't that like 20 years on something?
It's know. 20.
It's close enough, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. That was cool. So Butts Creek. I don't even think I picked my championship. Or I picked
Anderson.
I'm going to leave it like that because I wasn't really committed into that. So
I'm committed to mine.
Okay, I'll commit to Jason and watch.
And you got Anderson.
I got Anderson as well.
I mean, is it like wrong? The camera guy, like, what's that saying about me if I pick with him? Even though he picked it.
Yeah, he picked
Jason.
You should have picked
him. All right. He's there. You guys want insight than that. But nonetheless, that was good. I miss you guys. That was fun. I got to thank my guests again, having Eric Pernard on there. We're doing some exciting things, people. Hope you guys get in tune behind that. It's going to be a lot of updates here soon. We got a lot of stuff to talk about and get done. So until then, we'll see you next time. Raj, good to have you back. You ain't going to the outdoors this year. So
we plan on seeing him
and his mascot, whatnot. So you're going to see Cole back more, him and the bird. He'll be back here. Inside joke. Ha, ha, ha. All right, people, we'll see you next time. But that was it from Bo's World, episode number 6. Have a great weekend, or whenever it is. Have a great whatever you have. Until then, bye.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently.
To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.